I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is June 22nd, 2013. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's article by Anne Barnhart. America is over. Over. Here's how I can tell. Her essay begins. First, a quick link to the wonderful Lord Christopher Monckton. Holy Christ, Anne. Lord Monckton? Seriously? That shill for the oil companies who gets paid to convince everyone that global warming is a hoax? That guy? And he is an example of whom, in your world, passes for wonderful? She continues, when Lord Monckton echoes everything you have said nearly word for word, it is an edifying feeling. And if that creep is echoing your words, then you seriously need to learn a new language, preferably one that he doesn't already know. She writes, the U.S. is over. He even recommends buying medals. And you still can't see it, can you? Look at what you just wrote. He even recommends buying medals. The guy is a complete sleaze. Only a religious nutball like yourself could fail to see through such an obvious con artist. Damn, you ghost worshippers are gullible. But then, if you weren't, you wouldn't be ghost worshippers, would you? She wrote, click here for Lord Monckton's piece. And I clicked on your link and discovered that Monckton's article was published on World Net Daily. They are the little brother of Fox News, which masquerades as a news outlet, but in reality is nothing more than the propaganda arm of the American religious far right. I only got a few paragraphs into Monckton's article before I had to go take a laxative to remove all the crap I had just read. It's hard to believe there are people stupid enough to believe the nonsense that comes out of the far-right propaganda machine. Her essay continues, I know that America is toast, and there will be no miraculous deliverance anytime soon, based off of one excruciatingly simple observation that anyone can make. It is simply this, is there or is there not sorrow and repentance for the sins of the nation? And, just a quick question. Was there sorrow and repentance for the sins of the nation under George Bush? So all this began after the election in 2008? She wrote, not only is the answer to that question a resounding no, it is beyond that. We have plowed through the zero and are now delving into the negative. This culture relishes in and is proud of itself for being morally degenerated, perverse, murderous, and satanic. This culture uses its parabolic descent into evil as the proof set of its own self-righteousness. And you might want to reconsider your choice of words. A parabola sketches out a descent followed by an ascent. Actually, Anne, now that I think about it, your choice of words might be right after all. A parabola does describe our nation's plunge under George Bush, followed by our recovery under Barack Obama. The only thing I would add is that the ascent would have been much faster if we didn't have half the country doing everything in their power to keep America from recovering. She wrote, and may I just say that the opposition is tepid to the point of being utterly pathetic, the quintessence of lukewarmness, and we all remember what our Lord said about the lukewarm. He will vomit the lukewarm out of his mouth. And since he is invisible, how would we know if he actually vomited? Wouldn't his vomit have to be invisible too? She wrote, and here is where I offend my readership. And don't worry, you can't offend ghost worshippers. Believe me, I've tried. She wrote, you people are doing nothing to fight any of this. I'm sorry, but having a fun outing wherein a bunch of people get together, do a fun activity, eat yummy food, socialize, say a prayer or two, and then distribute t-shirts proudly proclaiming that we rode our bikes through Estes Park and then had a picnic to end abortion is frankly narcissistic to the point of being nauseating. Anne, you mean nauseating to the point of vomiting? Now I get it. You're trying to emulate your God. Salvation through mutual heaving. Kind of creepy, but certainly within the norm for Christians. She wrote, when the angel in the third secret of Fatima is screaming penance, 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 while waving a massive sword of fire, he isn't talking about having a bike ride, a movie night, a march followed by a fabulous 2.5-hour lunch, a softball game, a potluck dinner, or a bake sale. Anne, you've made it clear that you don't care much for any of those activities. But as a self-proclaimed middle-aged virgin, aren't you at least interested in his massive sword? Her essay continues, and no matter how many t-shirts you have printed up, and no matter how frequently you wear your I walked in a 2-mile circle with my friends this one Saturday to end abortion t-shirt, you aren't doing jack squat to end or even slow down the parabolic descent into hell of your culture. You are not saving any lives. In fact, your benignity and lukewarmness is actually encouraging to the enemy and those walking the line, because they know if they choose evil, your response will be some ridiculous non-response response. And before you write these essays, do you load up on amphetamines, or do you just drink gallons of coffee? She wrote, this far and no farther. One more step, one more legalization of baby killing, one more mandate that I must pay for child slaughter, one more ratification of sodomy, and I'll have a super fun social gathering with my friends. And civilization and progress are coming to America, albeit slowly thanks to you ghost worshippers standing in the way. So you might as well ditch the eternally angry Christian victim routine and try enjoying one of those super fun social gatherings. She wrote, the United States of America is O-V-E-R. It is hopeless. It will implode and be destroyed. And it deserves to implode and be destroyed. And thanks for showing everyone another of the horrors of religious thinking. In your sick, twisted little Christian mind, if a nation doesn't behave and do exactly as you believe they should, you have no qualms stating that it deserves to be destroyed. That kind of perverted thinking comes straight out of the Bible. You ghost worshippers are taught that destruction is the appropriate response for solving problems and punishing people. It is a theme that runs throughout your ancient book of horrors. She wrote, the only way this satanic culture will end is if it is done by force. See, Anne, I was right. The Christian answer, when things don't go their way, is force. It's the same answer Christians have resorted to for 2,000 years now. Violence. That is so Christian of you. She wrote, you know what my prayer is? No, Anne, I don't. And I don't really want to know, but I have the feeling you're going to tell us anyway. She said, my prayer is that it is God who does it himself, and that angels with massive fire swords are dispatched. And thanks again. No atheist could do a better job of showing the savagery that exists in the Christian mind than you just did. She wrote, because the alternative is that he uses the traditional scourge of sinful Christian nations, which is, of course, the Musloid hordes. Oh, I'll take the angels any day. Angels don't rape. They chastise in the ferocious burning charity of the Lord. And we are quite the little nut job, aren't we? She wrote, and now, just to show you how it is done, I give you the third chapter of the book of Jonah. And if you were looking for a verse to demonstrate mass murder, brutal killing, rape, enslavement, and a host of other barbaric hobbies enjoyed by your God, you simply could have closed your eyes, opened your Bible to any page, and placed your finger down randomly on any verse. The chances are better than even that your finger would be resting on a verse about someone being murdered, probably by God. And now she quotes the verses. And the word of the Lord came to Jonas the second time, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach in it the preaching that I bid thee. And Jonas arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was a great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonas began to enter into the city 1 day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And the men of Nineveh believed in God, and they proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. And the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose up out of his throne, and cast away his robe from him, and was clothed with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published in Nineveh from the mouth of the king and of his princess, saying, Let neither men nor beasts, oxen nor sheep, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. And let men and beasts be covered with sackcloth, and cry to the Lord with all their strength. And let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the iniquity that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and forgive, and will turn away from his fierce anger? And we shall not perish. And God saw their works, that they were turned from their evil way. And God had mercy with regard to the evil which he had said that he would do to them, and he did it not. And those kinds of verses create more atheists than Richard Dawkins. She wrote, When abortion is a capital offense and sodomy is a felony, you let me know. And sodomy was a felony until modern society trashed biblical morals and progressed into the 21st century. And as a woman, you of all people should be ever grateful that Christianity has progressed so much. Women can now speak in church, vote, and file rape charges against men that they were previously forced to marry. If you are so determined to return to the Dark Ages when religion ruled Western civilization, then convert to Islam. Many of them still live in the Dark Ages. And as a woman, you will get to experience how the Bible meant for women to live. That's why I find it so disingenuous that you hate Muslims so much. Because they, especially those under Sharia, actually live the life that you claim you want to return to. She wrote, Otherwise, I'll be in the van down by the river praying for God's perfect justice to rain down upon the U.S. And how patriotic of you. The reason Christians wave the flag so furiously is to distract everyone from the fact that they are the least patriotic members of our society. And your last statement just proved it. If society doesn't follow your beliefs to the letter, then it should be destroyed. Your sick mind is identical in almost every respect to the Sharia pricks that you despise so much. She wrote, This evil has to end. So Anne, does that mean you're contemplating suicide? Just to prove I'm not such a bad guy, I'm going to help you out with some nifty little tips that will make your decision to end your life a little easier. Here are a few suggestions. If you choose an oven, let the gas escape for a few minutes and then light a match. You'll go much faster. If you choose the freeway, pick a dark night and then lie down in the fast lane. As long as drivers don't recognize you, they'll swerve around. If you choose drowning, tie a weight to the lightest part of your body. which means you'll be going in head first. Or you can always crawl back under your rock and experiment with spontaneous combustion. No, Anne, don't thank me. Helping people is what I do. And Anne concludes her essay. This cannot go on. To be delivered from God's wrath with no correction of the culture is too horrific to fathom. Bring it, O Lord. Bring it now. So be it. Anne, totally bonkers. I now understand why you are still a virgin. And now we move to the science segment. Today's topic, turtle genome analysis sheds light on turtle ancestry and shell evolution. From which ancestors have turtles evolved? How did they get their shell? New data provides evidence that turtles are not primitive reptiles, but belong to a sister group of birds and crocodiles. The work also sheds light on the evolution of the turtle's intriguing morphology and reveals that the turtle shell evolved by recruiting genetic information encoding for the limbs. Turtles are often described as evolutionary monsters with a unique body plan and a shell that is considered to be one of the most intriguing structures in the animal kingdom. Using next-generation DNA sequencers, the researchers from 9 international institutions have decoded the genome of the green sea turtle and Chinese softshell turtle and studied the expression of genetic information in the developing turtle. The results show that turtles are not primitive reptiles as previously thought, but are related to the group comprising birds and crocodilians, which also includes extinct dinosaurs. Based on genomic information, the researchers predict that turtles must have split from this group around 250 million years ago, during one of the largest extinction events ever to take place on this planet. The study also reveals that despite their unique anatomy, turtles follow the basic embryonic pattern during development. Rather than developing directly into a turtle-specific body shape with a shell, they first establish the vertebrate's basic body plan and then enter a turtle-specific development phase. During this late specialization phase, the group found traces of limb-related gene expression in the embryonic shell, which indicates that the turtle shell evolved by recruiting part of the genetic program used for the limbs. The work not only provides insight into how turtles evolved, but also gives hints as to how the vertebrate developmental programs can be changed to produce major evolutionary novelties. Another unexpected finding of the study was that turtles possess a large number of olfactory receptors and must therefore have the ability to smell a wide variety of substances. The researchers identified more than 1,000 olfactory receptors in the softshell turtle, which is one of the largest numbers ever to be found in a non-mammalian vertebrate. And now we move to the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Friedrich Wilhelm Nitschke, born 1844, died 1900 at the age of 55. Nitschke was a German philosopher, poet, composer, cultural critic, and classical philologist. He wrote critical texts on religion, morality, contemporary culture, philosophy, and science, displaying a fondness for metaphor, irony, and aphorism. Nitschke's key ideas include the death of God, the eternal recurrence, the Apollonian and Dionysian dichotomy, perspectivism, and the will to power. Central to his philosophy is the idea of life affirmation, which involves questioning of all doctrines that drain life's expansive energies, however socially prevalent those views might be. His influence remains substantial within philosophy, notably in existentialism, postmodernism, and post-structuralism, as well as outside it. His radical questioning of the value and objectivity of truth has been the focus of extensive commentary, especially in the continental tradition. Nitschke began his career as a classical philologist before turning to philosophy. At the age of 24, he was appointed to the chair of classical philology at the University of Basel, the youngest individual to have held this position, but resigned 10 years later at the age of 34 due to health problems that plagued him most of his life. At age 44, he suffered a collapse and a complete loss of his mental faculties. He lived his remaining years in the care of his mother until her death when he was 53, and then under the care of his sister until his death at age 55. And now for the quote from Friedrich Nietzsche. The surest way to corrupt a youth is to instruct him to hold in higher esteem those who think alike than those who think differently.
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking.